Okay, so this is a short reading this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, from the NIV UK version. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the word of the Lord.
In my version of the NIV, the first verse of the passage that Naomi read was finally. Okay, no, it's fine. That's up to much more modern version because it's got brothers and sisters in it. It's my version, it's just got brothers. But it's just got finally. Okay, so if any of you have got finally in your Bible, you know, you often hear preachers say finally, don't you? But don't be fooled. It may be finally, but not immediately. They've still got a bit more to say. And that's a bit like that with Paul. He says finally and then goes on for several more chapters afterwards because he has more to say. But actually, as far as we're concerned this evening, looking at this passage out of sequence, it actually is finally. We've heard the very end of the letter over the last few weeks. And this evening the subject is praying, which actually is quite a good way to end our series on Thessalonians. Well, so far in this letter and the previous one, Paul has expressed his love for the people of Thessalonica and his longing to see them. He's been encouraged by the report from Timothy and encourages them to go on in the faith. As well as dealing with some questions that have been troubling them, like the second coming of Christ, because some thought it had already happened and they'd missed it. Questions about believers who had died. He tells them that Christ will come suddenly and unexpectedly, so they have to be ready. In the previous chapter of this letter, there's again much encouragement and thanksgiving, but also a warning about the man of lawlessness, which we heard about some weeks ago. So they needed to be on their guard and stand firm. So we come to chapter 3 and Paul's request for prayer. As a reminder of the background, first of all, the church of Thessalonica was started when Paul and his colleagues visited there on his second missionary journey, about 52 AD. We read about that visit in Acts chapter 17. It's always helpful when you read the letters to read the accounts in Acts about what happened in those places where the letters are directed. Paul had had this vision from the man of Macedonia to come over and help them. So after the events in Philippi, he proceeded to Thessalonica. And we read, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. Some of the Jews believed, were persuaded, and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a number of prominent women. However, Paul was forced to leave there quickly, and he moved on, eventually arriving at Corinth, where he stayed about 18 months. And it's thought that Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians during his stay in Corinth, which probably makes these letters about the first of the epistles to be written about 55 AD. So this was Paul writing to a fledgling church who was still trying to work out the implications of their newly found faith. I find it amazing that so many came to faith after such a short time, just three Sabbaths. So Paul was keen to encourage them. But here he's asking them to pray. This evening we'll be looking at his request for prayer for the message of the gospel, prayer for the messengers of the gospel, and prayer for the members of the church. So prayer for the message of the gospel. He says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. His first concern is for the spread of the gospel message. Actually, the original text says that the gospel message might run unhindered, using maybe imagery from the Olympic Games, which would have been familiar to his hearers and readers. I'll be hearing a lot about that soon, won't we, with the Olympic Games. Maybe he had in mind Psalm 147:15, which says, he sends his command to the earth, his word runs swiftly. Paul's desire is that the gospel will be like a champion running well and fast, and that wherever it goes, it will be honoured. But not only that it will advance quickly, but be accepted as well. Paul has seen the Thessalonians and others accept the faith and longs that many more will do the same. We know that Paul had a vision to reach the whole of the Roman Empire for Christ and wanted to go to Rome and eventually on to Spain. His request is that the believers in Thessalonica will share his burden, that the gospel message will run in every direction and be accepted wherever it goes. Is that our passion? Our overriding concern? What we think about, pray about, give our time and money to? Missionary activity is not the responsibility of a select few. It should be the concern of every Christian. It doesn't necessarily involve going overseas, which the idea of missionary can sometimes imply. Although we do thank God for the likes of Angus and Helen and the many others who do that. We are called to be missionaries. It simply means people sent on a mission. And Jesus told his disciples after the resurrection, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. That applies just as much to us today as it did to those first apostles. An apostle, in another language, means one who is sent. And Jesus promised those first apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And being a witness is simply telling what we have seen and heard. And it's the fact that more people come to faith through friendship than any other means. People don't come to church these days like they once did. The days of big evangelistic meetings and rallies has passed. People have to see the gospel preached, in inverted commas, in those of us who profess to believe. We are the only Bible they will read, it's often said. And we need to use every opportunity we have of speaking up for Jesus. So though we think of the message as the preached word, and rightly so, it's far more than that. When Paul later wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, he tells them that not only are they the aroma of Christ being spread around, but says they are letters. 2 Corinthians 3 says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the heart. So not only do we have a wonderful message to share, we are the message. Our lives bear witness, good or bad, to our faith. What sort of message are we given? And we need new ways of sharing the gospel. We only have to look at Paul, who is a great example of how to communicate the gospel message to different groups of people. To the Jews, for example. When Paul moved from place to place, he went to the synagogues, as he did in Thessalonica. To worship there, he was able to base his teaching on what the Jews already knew from their scriptures, that the promised Messiah that they were awaiting was the Jesus that they had crucified. Yet, when he taught to non-Jews, Gentiles, he used a different approach. For example, when Paul was traveling around, he took every opportunity to spread the good news wherever he was. Remember, when he left Thessalonica, he went to Athens, and there, wandering around the marketplace, he saw all these altars to unknown gods, and the one marked to an unknown God. And he was able to point to the one true God that they didn't know about. It's interesting to see how he approached it. He didn't go in and condemn them for their ignorance or unbelief. he starts off by referring to their own poets and philosophers and what they do believe. Because in each of those instances, Paul began where the listeners were. I mean, it would have been pointless talking about Abraham, Isaac, and the covenants of God with people who had no knowledge of them. And that really is the same with us. Telling people to repent of their sins or they'll go to hell is meaningless. Because for the most part, there's no conception of sin these days. We have to love people into the kingdom. Okay, we can talk about sin and repentance in church because there's some understanding. But for people with no such knowledge, we need a different language, one they will understand. So what we try and do here through the food bank, breakfast club, home access and job club is the best way, getting alongside people, hearing their stories, building up relationships and helping them in practical ways, as well as sharing the love of God. Seeds are being sown. Paul wanted prayer that the message of the gospel would spread. And what was the message, the gospel message that Paul was preaching? Well, we do get an idea from the account in Acts and from his letters. Of course, it was that Jesus is Lord. And that was a risky thing to do in those days because Caesar was considered to be Lord and King. We know that the cross was central to his preaching. He said, we preach Christ crucified, he said. But not only crucified, but raised from the dead. If he was not raised from the dead, then our faith is useless. He preached about the love of God. And of course, that is the message we preach as well. But we know there are so many people, some of those things are way down the line. Because there is no knowledge of God, Jesus, or the Bible. They have to see faith lived out. See the love. It's been said, people have to know we care about them before they care about what we know. So we, along with the Thessalonians, are urged to pray for the spread of the gospel in the many forms that that takes, whether preached or demonstrated. But we do need to pray for all those engaged with it as well, as Paul goes on to ask this fellowship in Thessalonica. Pray for the messengers of the gospel. Because he says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Paul has already asked that the message will run unhindered. Because even in the short time that Paul had been preaching the gospel, he'd come against all sorts of problems. You only have to look at the preceding chapters in the account in Acts. There was the sorcerer and the false prophets. There was envy and unbelief from the Jews. There was persecution where they were hounded out from places. Division, some believed the message, some didn't. There were plots to stone him. Arguments about keeping the law for the Gentiles, whether they had to keep all the laws and the dietary rules and things. There was disagreement and split with Barnabas. They were thrown into prison for their preaching. And they were flogged in Philippi, wonderfully released. So yes, Paul knew all about hardship at this early stage and knew it would continue and warned his followers to expect it. Now we may not have to face such extreme trials as that, but we do know that the evil one will want to hinder our efforts and cause any trouble using any means he can. We know with our attempt to hold the street party recently, there was opposition. But who knows whether in God's eternal purposes, there was someone in church that morning who heard the gospel who would not normally have heard it. Remember how the Christmas event was scuppered by the weather, but some good came of that. As Paul experienced when in prison, God's messengers may be chained, but the word of God cannot be chained. It is free to run, so long as the messengers are willing to run with it. So who then are the messengers of the gospel? Well, as we see, we're all messengers of the gospel in our own small circles. And Paul here was asking protection for his mission team as they went into unfamiliar territory and knew they would face similar trials as had gone before. So we need to pray for our pastor, who is often in the firing line when problems arise and where ultimately the buck stops. So pray for Claire and Roger at this time as they seek to lead us. And also consider their own future. We just thank God for them, for their enthusiasm and vision, and must pledge ourselves to bear them up in prayer. Remember also the other preachers who go out week by week, regularly to smaller churches, very often without pastors, and just a handful of faithful people. Most of them are not in the first flush of youth, keeping the work going as long as possible. And I was looking at the worship group on the platform earlier on and thinking there's 7 of them up there. That's more than in some places our preachers go to. Sad. There's our Sunday school teachers and club leaders. They are the messengers of the gospel to the youngsters, who are part of the church today, will be the church of tomorrow. And we need to teach and disciple them to faithful followers of Jesus for the whole of their lives. They're growing up in a secular and non-Christian society which would try and pull them in all directions, away from the truth, especially as they leave home, which many of our youngsters will be doing very soon. Reminded by that clip earlier on, the need to spread the word to those who've never heard it. To pray for translators, Wycliffe and Bible Society, who are doing just that. Those involved in mission work on the streets, Pub Alpha and Job Club, are all messengers of the gospel. And Paul has been asking this small baby church fellowship to pray for him and his team. How that must have encouraged them, that they had a part to play. It wasn't only the main men who had the task of spreading the gospel. They had something they could do as well. They could pray. And we know how important prayer is in our mission. Whenever we go out onto the streets to host a mission activity, such as Mother's Day, there's always a group praying in the back room or pledged to pray at home. While not everyone can walk the streets or do things, everyone can pray. I was reminded in one of my readings earlier in the week of the story in Exodus when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. There was Moses on top of the hill with the staff of God in his hand. Joshua was in the valley fighting. So long as Moses held up his staff and prayed, the fighting went well. But when he got tired and could no longer hold his hands up, the battle turned. Then we read that Aaron and Hur came alongside him, sat him down and held his hands up until the battle was won. The fighting was in the valley. The battle was won on the hill. Prayer works and everyone can do their bit. Alfred Lord Tennyson is reported as saying, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." And we know that's so true. But Paul realized that these new Christians would be finding life hard as they struggled with their newfound faith. So he adds a prayer for them. So he says, pray for the message of the gospel. Pray for the messengers of the gospel. And finally, Paul prays for this little fellowship and commits them to God's protection. Prayer for the members of the church. Moving on now, please. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's protection. There's a bit of a play on words here, whereas he just said, not everyone has faith. But he says, the Lord is faithful. We can trust him. And earlier, he's spoken about evil people in general. But now he's more specific. This is the evil one, the devil who is behind the opposition to their message and mission. So he prays for the members of the fellowship that they will be protected and kept strong. The devil will use any means he can to thwart the gospel. And we've experienced some of his wiles here. There have been attacks on individuals, suffering sickness and loss, and all kinds of other problems. We've had seasons of serious illness hitting our members, and we've been called to stand together in prayer. Doubts arise, leading to depression. As well as attacks on the fellowship from within, they can come from outside as well. Splits and disharmony within the fellowship because of things that are said and done and things perhaps aren't handled as well as they could be. Gossip and unnecessary talk and so on. And from the outside, we're just being marginalized. The street party, for example. I had problems with the police at the March of Witness trying to get police cover for us because there was something more important happening. But people prayed and won the day. there will be attacks on us. So Paul commends these people here and us to God's care and keeping. So what then is our protection? Well, we do have the armour of God as our protection, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. The helmets, the belt, the breastplate, the sword of the Spirit, and very aptly for the spread of the gospel, fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Reminds me of that verse in Isaiah in the song, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. But that passage in Ephesians is a picture of a soldier, which reminds us that we are all in a battle, but we are in it together. The individual soldier had all the armour to protect himself. We also know how the Roman army would protect itself when on the march. They would make what we call the tortoise formation, with their shields covering the back, the front, the sides and the top. They were protecting each other. And that's what we have to do. We are all in this together. We all need each other. So we must pray for one another. We have the armour, but we must put it on. Our God is faithful. Finally, Paul encourages them to direct their hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. God's love, that's the heart of the gospel message. God's love in sending his son, Jesus, to die on a cross that we might be restored to a relationship with him. Most of you here will have already done that, but if there is anyone who hasn't, then please speak to someone afterwards. And Christ's perseverance. Paul urges this little group of people who months before had never heard the gospel message to root their hearts and lives in the love of God and the patience of Christ. He prays that as they meditate on Christ's patience and his strength in suffering, something of that patience and perseverance will be given to them. Just as Christ persevered in his mission that took him to the cross, so must we. Being Christian these days is not easy, but no one ever said it would be. I was interested to find out whether there was a Christian church in Thessaloniki, as it is known today. And there are many churches, Christian, Eastern Orthodox, as well as many mosques. The Church of God in Thessaloniki has an outreach mission to the many foreigners and the thousands of students there. So it's good to know that the legacy of Paul and these early believers lives on. So we've seen this passage challenges us to be partners in the gospel. We have a wonderful message to proclaim. And whether it is through formal preaching or through word of mouth, through friends or colleague, or an act of kindness. Let's remember this as well as having a message to share. We are the message. Remember to pray for our pastor, young people's leaders, home group leaders, and pray for each other. Because we are all in this together. Amen. Living God, enable us this day to be pilgrims and companions, committed to the way of Christ, faithful to the call of Christ, discerning the mind of Christ, offering the welcome of Christ, growing in the likeness of Christ, engaging in the mission of Christ, in the world that belongs to Christ. May this be our prayer. Amen. We say the grace together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.